Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes. Because trust is a must. Rossdalehomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, off and running on this Monday morning. Roo, you're in one piece. You got home from Sydney, okay?
Back and I'm happy to be back. Jesus, a bloody big joint. Sydney?
Really?
Too big.
Oh,
yeah.
And you just work that out.
I like little old Adelaide better.
But I
had a good
too.
Weekend.
Look, it's great to visit Sydney, isn't it?
It is. I reckon it's good for 2 to 4 days.
Yep.
But we had a good time. It rained all weekend over there and get home. Perfect weather over here in Adelaide. But
yep. And Winx got up.
Winx absolutely annihilated them. And
so Sarah was happy then. She only went up there to see Winx.
Exactly right. Now we had a good day. The races actually, it's beautiful out there. Really,
I did something that I wish we'd do more often. You know, is get out and see things in our own backyard. Now I had a winery tour on Saturday, and I know you'll think, I was just on it all day.
Gee.
But no,
you didn't have a drink.
It was just stunning though. Just Adelaide Hills, unbelievable.
Best place you went to?
Beautiful. Where we had lunch was the Mount Lofty Ranges Vineyard. Spectacular.
Mount Lofty Ranges
Vineyard.
Right.
Little hidden secret, I reckon. Although people are starting to know about it. Just the setting, it's like you're in France or something. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, it is beautiful.
So we had a real, real good day in our own backyard.
Timmy Vince, was he all right?
Three votes.
Three votes?
Three votes, yeah.
Wow. That's a good field to win it.
Yeah.
Did you get on the podium or not?
No, I didn't make the top four.
Who was second?
Oh, Kingo. You know Kingo, our mate Kingo.
Kingo.
Yeah, and Stephen Stretch.
Stephen Stretch.
Yeah. We got to him.
Oh, girls got votes.
No, it was touch and go. The girls were quite sensible.
Right.
Actually, this is for another day. I wish I had taped their conversation when they all arrived. You know, the bloke's like, hey, yeah, good. Hey, Winx is running today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Hey, gee, did you see the Crows the other night? Yeah, gee, they were good, yeah. The girls, oh, look, I can't wear short skirts like you've got on because my legs are like sausages, honestly. No, your legs are lovely. And then another one goes, actually, my ankles are the skinniest part of my body. And it went on and on and on. I thought, for God's sake, seriously. Intelligent women, the crap they
talk
about.
What about fast forward 4 hours? What were they talking about?
I love you. You're the best. My best friend ever. Ever. No, you are.
And what were you like?
That was me and Jim. let's move on from this stupidity, shall we?
Yeah.
What's coming up today?
Not a lot today. Don't worry about it.
Just more of that today. All right, until 9 o'clock. Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, making news right around the globe at the moment. Now, Malcolm Turnbull in strife.
He is in a little bit of strife.
And these are the polls, all right? Trailing Labor, and quite comfortably, by the way. So if there was an election today, they're saying two-party preferred. Labor are looking very, very good.
55-45.
However, as far as PM goes, he's still
in front of Tit Shorten.
Tit Shorten, he's still the preferred PM. But the big mover coming down the outside.
Here comes Pauline Hanson.
PM, Pauline for PM. Can you imagine that?
Pauline. Hey, she's doing the circuit. Apparently she's going around to pubs around the states at the moment and shouting 100 beers when she goes in there.
Clever campaign.
She's getting out there, the people, and she's gone from 4% to 10%. She is on the rise.
Yep.
So, Big Mal's in a little bit of trouble at the moment. It'll be interesting to see what's going on. I know over the weekend Tony Abbott gave him a bit of a shot. Well, that might have been Friday, but no one's sort of giving him a pat on the back for how he did that either. But
no.
They're in a bit of disarray, the old Liberal Party.
And, as you said, Pauline is gaining momentum. Unbelievable
Look
stuff.
Out.
In the cricket, we've had an amazing win over India. Now, as you know, we talked about it Friday. We just do not win on the subcontinent.
Haven't won there since 2004, I think it is.
But we thrashed India by 333 runs, all thanks to this bloke, Steve O'Keefe.
Just relieved. You know, it's a great position to be in, 1-0, and to personally take some wickets, it gives me a lot of confidence going forward. We've done it unsuccessfully, and we've done it successfully. And I think the best thing about Nathan is he takes it in his stride.
Yeah, well, Lyon got 4 but O'Keefe 6-35 in both innings.
Yeah.
And a lot of the cricketing experts, including Shane Warne, and I think even KG here on Triple M, said that he shouldn't even have got a game. And now he's got 12, and I think the best figures ever in India, perhaps. So, look, maybe just had a day out, or had a week out, had a test of a lifetime.
How did he not get man of the match?
Oh, look, that absolutely baffles me. He's taken 12 for 70, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And look, I'm no cricketing expert, but Steve Smith made 100.
Mm.
But if he got dropped three times and the LB would have got knocked out middle stump,
so Steve Smith's 100, he was 4 for.
He was 4 for in my eyes. So I don't know. I think O'Keefe wins it for me.
Look, the thing is, look at any test match that you win, Roo. And I always remember, whoever it was, I think it might have been Ian Chappell, says you have to take 20 wickets to win the game. Therefore, your bowlers. So you can make 600 runs. Your batting can be as solid as anything. If you can't get the other team out twice, you do not win the test match. And they should really weight that, take that into consideration. He has taken 12 wickets to help his side win the test.
It's, I think, at least 90% would have thought that O'Keefe should have won it. Yeah. I just don't.
But they always go with the batsman, always. If a batsman makes 100, it's... I can't remember too often where the bowler gets it. Always the batsman that makes the 100.
Yeah, well, Crowies had a game on Friday night. Some people would have been happy with it. Some people would have been not happy about it. I know.
You're in the honeymoon suite. You'd have no idea.
That's true. I watched Sarah a little bit. But
gee, I'll tell you what, a couple of good things, Roo. McGovern, what a player. And he'll only improve.
Showed some good signs. Did a couple of things early. Copped a knock on the knee. A few of the younger midfielders got a bit of game time, and they're only going to be better for that with blokes like Wigg and Hampton. I think
Hampton's very good.
He moves all right. Got to get a bit more consistent. He'll get more opportunities the next couple of weeks as well. I didn't think it was a too bad of a run. I mean, Richmond were full strength. Adelaide were far from it. Yeah, I think it wasn't a bad little hit out, but no one likes losing to Richmond, I wouldn't have thought, though.
Nah, lose this time of year, though. Perfect. Yeah. Give them, let Richmond believe as they always do. You know,
Crows got Geelong this Sunday in Adelaide.
Mm. Hey, Roo, and as everyone knows, if you're listening Friday, that Roo went kicking and screaming to Sydney. Yeah, it was Sarah's 40th, and Roo wanted to take her somewhere nice for lunch. She said, no, I want to go and see Winks.
Take me to Randwick.
They've got 200 metres to run. He hasn't even pushed the button on the mighty mare, Winks, and she's really starting to pull away. The Squiddy Spirit, who shot the bomb in Magic Hurricane. Oh, isn't she great to watch? Back-to-back wins in the Chipping Norton. It's been won by some of the legends, and that she is. Winks by 2 lengths. The Squiddy Spirit, a huge run second.
There you go.
Oh, you just keep
hear me
doing
in
it.
The background. it was unbelievable. Picked all the best horses in Australia up in about 5 strides and smashed them. So
all right, that's what's making
it's
news.
Better than Farlap now.
Yeah, well, some are saying so.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Let's say a very good morning on a Monday to Mick Malloy. How
Tigers.
Are you, Mick?
Yeah. Come on. Crows are our bitches. Yeah. Seriously, the hard thing's going to be keeping a lid on it from here, isn't it? Because we don't want to go too early. Who's going to be our best ninth ever?
You're going to have to get someone like Michael Tuck or someone who's had, you know, 7 flags or whatever to come in and talk to you blokes about just how to keep a lid on it, aren't you?
Yeah. We've got our traditional rivals Port, I think, next week, haven't we?
Yes.
I'll be travelling back for that. Payback, I reckon. Yeah. You know the only bad news for Richmond on the weekend?
What?
Vickery was in the best players for Hawthorn.
Surely they couldn't turn him into a good player.
If they do, I give up. I really give up. Hey, it's Oscar morning, guys.
Yeah,
Oscar, you get a bit of Oscar excitement. Do you get a bit of buzz going?
Love the red carpet.
You love the red carpet. I love Richard Wilkins on the red carpet doing all the interviews. From what I understand, he has a statuette in his pants most of the time.
Gets a bit excited, does he?
He gets a bit excited. It's a big day for Wilco. He is good. But I do love the Oscars. I worry about the timing of Bill Paxton's death because I'll struggle to get him into the in memoriam package.
Yeah.
I'll have to put it on the end of the... Like, that's one of my favourite bits of the... of the Oscar coverage, the in memoriam, where they go through everyone who died over the last year.
Yeah,
it becomes a kind of popularity,
isn't it?
It becomes a popularity contest for dead people. So, you know, like there'll be someone like Debbie Reynolds will die and everyone will go berserk and big claps, and then some like sound editor dies and you get the old Sheffield Shield applause.
Crickets.
There's some booing on occasion.
And people pretend they know. They go, yeah, his sound recording was good. He was good.
Yeah. He was one of the best. He'll be missed. So
you reckon he could record?
That's right. Hey, but everyone loves films, especially ex-AFL footballers. Mm-hmm. And I was watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here last night, and Swanee coughed up his favourite film, Babe.
Babe? Is this really your favourite movie?
Oh. It's a heartwarming tale of a pig trying to find his way in a big city. If you can't get emotional about that, mate, I won't know what...
He's a unit, isn't he?
Swanee? He's a unit. Well, do you remember last year? It was Fev was in there, and he said The Notebook. Remember, he said his favourite film was The Notebook, and then when Warnie didn't pick it as movie of the week, he cracked it. Do you know The Notebook? Have you been dragged along by a partner to see The Notebook?
No.
A friend of mine's girlfriend made him watch. Took him to see The Notebook. She didn't like the way he watched it. Right. So she made him watch it again while she watched him watching it.
Oh, what sort of sick woman is she?
That's right. So why are we talking about this? Everyone's been dragged along to a chick flick at some stage, haven't they? I got a mate who's her wife dragged him along to see Beaches. She told him it was a documentary about fly fishing.
Come on.
That's true. I'm not joking. Another friend of mine, he's going and said, oh, let's go to the pictures. He goes, nah, I don't like the pictures you pick. She goes, oh, what's the Clint Eastwood film? He goes, oh, bingo. Yeah, The Bridges of Madison County.
Oh, no.
Have you got one yourself? Is there a film there that you're kind of embarrassed to say you like? Ex-AFL footballer, that big fella, Roo?
No, I'd only watch the old... I'm just a Schwarzenegger fan and a Rocky fan. So
well, that's embarrassing in itself.
Yeah, I know. Ditch doesn't like Stallone.
I heard you cried during Eat, Pray, Love.
The worst thing is he thinks they're great actors. He keeps telling me, he goes, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, great actor. How do you need to win an Oscar?
He's a great actor.
Oh, don't start. Don't.
A mate pays me out. He reckons I cried during Ghost, Mick. But that wasn't true. He cried when he got home
and his mum and dad said ghosts aren't real. He couldn't believe it.
In the love scene.
I was watching Footloose on telly the other day and I did get a bit emotional when they had to go to court for their right to have a school dance. I just felt the young people needed a break in.
Was it a Monday or a Tuesday when you were watching it?
You know when you're watching a film like that, you're either in a lot of trouble with the missus. Or you're trying to get a route. It's either one of the two.
Yeah. Now, Mick, can I tell you? I'll give both of you a clue here, or not a clue, a bit of advice. After doing breakfast one day last year, went home, as you do, you have those tired days where you just sit on the couch and try and recover. And I was trolling through Fox. And do yourself a favour. There's a movie called The Babysitters. Okay. Starts out nice. They're a young group of girls going to college. And to earn some extra money, they start being the nannies. Porkies. They're the nannies in the area. And they cotton on to something, the babysitters, about how they can make a little bit of extra money by entertaining dad, the dad of the family.
Oh, hang on.
So it's a feel-good film.
It's a love story.
It's a love story.
Mick, I'm telling you now, Mick, go and see it. It's The Babysitters.
I'm writing it down.
And it's a true story. It happened in this town in America.
Yeah, I bet it is.
It's true.
It's in what the documentary section, is it? If I go down to my bottom
history.
Before anything else for us, before we say goodbye,
I'm pretty happy.
Okay, go and watch. You know, Fox, they'll replay the Richmond game today at some stage. Go and have a look and
don't you worry.
Relive. Jeez,
they ran over and you're fit.
That's like porn to me.
Good on you, Mick. We'll talk Thursday.
Watch the Tigers go.
Sing the song. We talk to Mick every Monday and every Thursday around this time. Mick Molloy.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Already 15 degrees outside, 33 sunny today and a pretty warm week on the way, Roo. Another weekend of footy's come and gone.
Yeah, round two of the JLT Community Series,
yep.
As it's known this year, formerly the NAB Cup. So just the Crows and Port Adelaide had their first hitouts. Port was on Thursday night, Crows Friday night, both going down. The Crows losing by 19 points to Richmond.
Brody Smith's on the wing for the Crows as the seconds tick down in this game. It's going to be a ring to the Tigers. A flying shot from Lynch finishes the game. A mark to Eddie Betts won't be paid. It's the Tigers who get over the line. 14-8-92. They defeat Adelaide. 10-13-73.
Yeah, once again, Eddie gave us a real highlight, kicked a great goal from the pocket, yeah, as he always does.
Yeah, Jenkins kick four. And look, I think everyone knows what the Adelaide forward line can do. It's either the best or one of the best in the competition. So there's a tick in that area, that they don't have to do much better in that area to mix it with the big boys. And their defence is not dissimilar. Got a very strong back line, could still improve in that area. Guys like Brody Smith and Rory Laird back there giving plenty of run up there with Talia and Lever and those sort of boys. It is the midfield that they're going to have to improve in if they're going to be serious premiership contender dits. And on the weekend, they played a few guys, young guys, because Sloane Crouch and Thompson were out. Harrison Wigg did a pretty good job, Ditz. I think he's a bit of a chance. He's going to get more game time. He had 23 disposals. You like what you saw from Hampton?
Yeah, he looks like he's the sort of bloke that could play anywhere.
He's a pretty smooth mover.
Can take a mark.
Didn't play last year because come from GWS and was his body was in bad shape. So it took most of last year to get him right. And towards the end of last year, played some pretty good footy in the SANFL. He's one that could fill the void, but there's a question mark on him yet. Your boy Wayne Miller is continuing to go right and should get better in his second year. Charlie Cameron is another one that's going to head into the midfield as well this year. So all these players are players with question marks, so they're not bona fide midfielders yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like what Dom Pike's going to try and do is get a little bit of midfield time out of all these players instead of having, you know, a smaller set of midfielders going to try and rotate these midfielders through there in smaller bursts, whether it is Brody Smith or Laird, who's been used in the midfield as well. And then there's a couple of other young players that's
going
to get you. Depth, yeah, but a lot of question marks still for everyone, I think, with the Adelaide midfield.
All right, let's move on. Saturday morning, driving home from the Real Football Show, I was listening to Dead Set Legends with KG and Jars, and this is what they had to say.
What are your predictions with, say, Port Adelaide?
Former Port Adelaide captain Dom Cassisi will be targeted to go on the Port Adelaide board.
Whoa, that's a very interesting one.
And I'll give you a Crows one too.
Whoa.
Crows CEO Andrew Warren Fagan,
yes,
will be poached by another code.
Will he go?
Well, I'm just giving you my predictions. Doesn't mean it's going to happen or not, but I'm just trying to let me.
Okay, well, here we go.
You got a couple?
Yeah, Port Adelaide, they will not make the eight. And Travis Boak will get dropped during the year.
Oh, George. That's how I feel. Okay. What else you got, Crows?
Mitch McGovern will finish in the top three Crows best and fairest.
Yep.
Crows will make the eight, but the midfield in the finals will find them out.
KG, not holding back.
No.
How do you respond to a couple of those?
We'll get the Crows one out of the way first. I think they will make the eight, and depending on injuries and how those younger players go in the midfield, the success of them will determine whether they do go high, top four.
Why is everyone knocking the Crows midfield? You've got Rory Sloane, Brad Crouch in there for a start.
Yeah, but Brad Crouch plays every sort of second week.
Yeah, but you'd like to think he's going to play, though.
Well, but he's injured at the moment, so there's a question mark
on that. Matt Crouch showed a fair bit last year.
Matt Crouch will be a good player this year, I think.
What's wrong? Why do people have doubts about the Crows midfield?
Oh, well, I think they're just up against the very best midfields. What you have to be a top four or a premiership contender. You're up, you know, you're up against some absolute gun midfield. So I think quite rightly so, but time will tell with that
one. Speaking about Port Adelaide missing the eight, as far as the midfield's concerned, throw the midfield in with Robbie Gray, Travis Boak, Ollie Wines. Now they're talking Chad Wingard in the middle, highly skilled.
Brad Ebert. Yeah,
I'm pretty comfortable with that. And if they're getting it out of the midfield, and by the way, this year we'll have a ruckman, Paddy Ryder.
Yep,
will go into the ruck. Jackson Trengove last year showed what a backup he could be.
Charlie Dixon maybe.
They'll then kick it forward to a forward line that's going to have maybe Jackson Trengove.
Yeah,
Paddy Ryder, Charlie Dixon, Chad Wingard, the same players I'm talking about. Monfries. I don't think there's a problem there at all.
Yeah, I think they look. I think the names are there at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, they have to perform.
They just have to perform. Yeah. And that was what disappointed me last year. I think they underachieved. The question is, can they turn it around? I thought they would have last year. And I think the same doubts are in a lot of people's mind whether they can this year or not. But they have made some changes over the summer. Mm. They've played some people in different positions, and they sounds like there's a good vibe coming out of Port Adelaide.
Why would KG be concerned about Travis Boak?
That's an interesting question. Mm. To say that he could get dropped is a big statement. Mm. Well, I think we need to ask him at, sooner or later about
that. Some stage, yeah.
He must have some mail on him, or because if he's getting dropped, Port Adelaide in for a disastrous year.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
You don't reckon?
No.
Just quickly, where do you think Port are going
to
finish?
Just in the eight, and then it's up to them, obviously,
just
to win a couple of finals from there.
Yep.
My prediction, Melbourne and St Kilda both will play in the eight, I reckon.
Yeah.
They'll be the improvers.
Well, Melbourne thrashed Carlton on the weekend. Mm. They look like an up-and-comer, definitely. I'm not sure about the St Kilda yet, but I like Melbourne.
Mm. All right, that's Roo's look at the footy over the weekend.
Triple M.
Roo, I was going to say one of the silliest blokes I've ever known in my life, but he laughs nonstop. He makes me laugh. Yeah. And he's at the fringe again this year. Timmy Jennifer.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much for having me once again.
You are the silliest bloke I've ever met.
Look, you're right, because last year I reckon I finished the 15 shows that I did, and I said, never, ever again will I do that.
And guess what?
Oh, silly.
You got the tomato seeds out of your hair and that from the blokes throwing them at you.
It was interesting, Roo, because the first night, you're very nervous first night, didn't have much of a rehearsal, let me tell you. And I've walked out, and of course, all the footy lads that I'd played with have rocked up, and they're in a corner. And David Armfield, the old runner, he has brought a giant bag of those party poppers, the whistles, and they start air horns, and they started throwing them at me and horn. Gee, what an opening! And I thought, I've got to shut this down.
Yeah.
And I just turned around to them and I said, right, boys, you've had your fun.
Yeah.
I said, but I'm going to say two words and it's going to shut you up. And they looked at me and I said, footy trips, and George Fiacci went, I'll be good.
You blokes would have done nothing wrong on a footy trip.
No, correct. Wait, nothing
wrong. You had nothing to celebrate.
Nothing to celebrate, nothing to misbehave about, but a little bit of that comes out in this year's show, that's for sure.
One story I've enjoyed over the years about footy trips is the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Does that get a run or not?
Look, it does, because the actual show is called Same, Same, But Different, which it's got a travel theme, the Bali T-shirt that we all see when we go over to Bali. And our first trip to Bali was way back in 92. And the great Greg Phillips, he's got the beautiful daughters and he never came on the footy trips.
He still plays for the Crows now.
Correct, the great Aaron Phillips. And there was just this moment where we got him of weakness and he said, look, I'll come for 4 days only. Mm-hmm. And we thought, how good's that? We got him on the plane. The girls were all crying, it was a beautiful scene. As soon as we got on the plane, he's crack. There goes the first one. He's on for the David Boone record.
So he got over it real quick.
So we land into this beautiful hotel and it's got a swim-up bar, the first time any of the blokes have seen one of these things. Yeah. And it's just awesome. And they're all in there and they're getting into it and the great man's leading it. I went off to get changed for the evening, came back, and all these guys are still sitting there at the pool bar. And they're all just sitting at the bar still. And I sort of looked at them and they started giggling and I said, you blokes, have any of you blokes actually got out of there and gone to the toilet? And they all started giggling again and all that. And I said, fair dinkum, I said, it's the only swimming pool I've seen with a head on it. Just just disgraceful.
Oh, no.
Not good at all.
What's the theme of the show this year? Timmy, what are you going
to
do?
Lots of travel. You would have travelled with your mum and dad when you were kids. We always went to somewhere in South Australia, whether it be the Riverland or, over on the Eyre Peninsula.
But can I ask you about your childhood? Because you lived in a trust home in Ferradon Park, correct?
Mansfield Park.
Yeah. How many kids?
Oh, yes, I was one of 10, yeah.
10?
What?
Yeah, we had
10.
Six,
one of 10?
Had six boys in one room at one stage. Three bunk beds.
So what you learned to fight then.
What in line were you?
I was number six boy.
All right, so you're in the middle.
Number seven in the family, so
You had a few to pick on then.
Oh, no, I didn't really. I remember waking up, they used to deliberately put their football socks right underneath your nose. Oh, disgraceful. Just a little wake-up call for you.
Tell me about going on family holidays with 10. How did you pile them into the car?
I just couldn't believe it.
Illegally.
I was just about to say, the 70s, it didn't matter, did it? So Dad had one of those sort of combi things and we just rolled around in the back, basically. Just rolled around the back.
No seatbelts.
One year
Just hang on.
We actually went to see the oldest brother who was living in Perth and I was about 13 and there were six of us in the back of a station wagon. Beautiful. Driving across the Nullarbor.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, you've got to be kidding.
These are holidays to remember.
Yeah, yeah. Loads of fun.
Oh, yeah, you get postcards. Bring it back.
Now, well, Timmy, I know you'd love to get the guitar out as well and sing Correct. A few tunes. So at your show this year, a few gags, a few travel stories.
Correct.
Songs?
A little song or two. I've got one that is a little bit... Well, what would I say? The pandas, they try and make love every year. Mm. It doesn't quite happen.
It doesn't quite happen.
They try to get intimate and they've only got, I think, 3 or 4 days where they've got the chance to do it.
The window.
So it's a bit like our marriage.
Can you play a tune for us? Gee, what about the venue this year?
Ah, the Governor High March.
The Gov. Yeah, mate, only the big names play the Gov.
Only the big music acts.
Yes.
Are the Gov. So I'll destroy that for them.
The reputation's gone.
And I did do a little bit of Vegas because I went there recently for my 50th.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd do an Elvis tune just in line with what's going to happen at the Fringe. So.
Okay.
Oh, wang, wang, I feel my temperature rising. Light my fire, make it burn to my furry soul. Foony, foony, your scent, it's got me on fire. My groin's a-flaming, I don't know which way to go. Well, your nose kisses lift me higher. We got 3 days of desire. You find my love and I, it's panda love. Hunka, 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 panda love. Hunka, 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 panda love. Hunka, 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 panda love. Oh, it's love.
Beautiful.
Jimmy, hey,
Now, this seriously, now, when you played footy, how did opposition take you seriously?
I do remember one fella running past me one day. He said, what are you anyway, Jennifer? A cartoon character?
Hey, Timmy G, good luck, mate.
Thanks, mate.
We all love you. And I know this is going to be a big show. It's at the Gov. Now, what are your dates?
Yeah, we got the 2nd of March, 10th of March, I do a double header, 7:30, 9:30. 11th of March,
yep,
which is Saturday night, and then a Thursday on the 16th of March.
Good on you.
Good luck, Timmy.
Looking forward to it.
You're
thanks, boys.
You're a brave man.
Timmy G, same, same, but different.
Or stupid.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Now, Roo, you've been glued to I'm a Celebrity. Oh, get me out of here. The latest exit. Or evictee, if you like. Zipporah, Malka, Zipporah, good morning.
No, you can't say evictee. That's Big Brother language. You have to say voted off.
Voted off,
okay.
Sorry, I was trying to economise with my words, but failed miserably, sorry.
No. Well, it didn't fail you miserably, and I'm just a mouthy Jewish woman, and I'll just tell you, when you're wrong.
Fair enough.
Don't worry about
Fair
that.
Fair enough.
I reckon you're pretty happy to be out, Zipporah. I reckon you've had a gutsful of the jungle, and you just want to get out and go back to where you were beforehand and just do what you want to do.
What makes you say that, my love? What makes you say that?
Oh, you can just tell by your mood a little bit lately. We're getting a little bit short, and you're deliberately trying to agitate people, and I think you were having a lot of fun doing it, but I think you've just about had enough of eating bugs and crawling around with snakes and all that sort of stuff.
No, the bugs and the snakes are fine, but the people, oh, my God, banal is a word that comes to mind. Oh. Not all of them, and I can put up with a bit of that because I was a model for, 21 years, so I can go, yeah, I've got tolerance for this. But, sometimes it gets like, does everybody have to braid their hair and look like Heidi from Hitler Youth? I'm not sure about that. Like, if it wasn't for Casey, I think I would have woken up in the middle of the night and gone, oh, my God, where the hell am I? I've got to run.
Hey, let's just cut straight to the point. Who'd you hate the most?
Who did I like or hate? I didn't really hate anybody, but I was egregious. I found that Chris and Ash were egregious towards me. Ash,
what does egregious mean?
I'm just looking that up. Aggrieved.
Aggrieved,
I was aggrieved. Yeah, I was aggrieved. I felt that Ash doesn't do it on purpose. It's just her personality. She's very bossy, but, I've been around for a long time. I feel like I've paid my dues, not only in celebrity world, but in the real world. And for a 30-year-old to, be nasty towards me and sort of boss me around, and what she's done, a couple of reality shows, I'm like, don't you push me around because I didn't cut a carrot properly, cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ash was, great in so many ways, but I didn't appreciate being told in a short, you know, aggressive way. And Chris, you know, he was very, very nice at first. However, he has sort of some weird ADHD issues where he got bored very quickly and became, he was playful at first, but then became quite sarcastic and nasty. I won't take that. I won't take being bullied. I've been bullied for a long time. Maybe I'm a little too jumpy about it because it's sort of a new me. So in a way, I'm almost sort of like a little kid that's just learning how to stick up for itself or herself or myself.
Yeah.
But
who'd you like?
Any sense of hostility, I'll quickly jump on. Who do I like? You know who I really liked was Kira. I thought Kira was
Kira.
Herself.
Gee whiz. That's a surprise.
Yeah, I know. No. She got a lot of slack when she first went in there. But you know what? I was probably, and I've got to say this, probably the nicest person to her when she first came in. And everyone was mean to her and about her behind her back. And I said, guys, this is not acceptable. We have to be nice to her. Because it's, we, you know, like we're all born with animal instincts, but part of our journey on this earth is to rise above them and become human beings.
Right.
And to be nasty to someone just to protect ourselves for our own survival instincts is not okay.
When you first come out, do they take you to a beautiful hotel? What's the first thing you do? Is it to get a hamburger and a good feed? Is it to have a shower?
Oh, no, the first thing they do is they take you into this weird, echoey room where you meet all the execs and they assure you that, you know, you're the most fabulous person on the show and they don't understand how the voting works, but we thought you were great.
Right.
You know, I'm the 10th runner-up, but however, you were great. We thought you were great. It's like, okay, yeah, thanks, execs. I really believe you because I was born yesterday.
Yeah.
I came down in the last shower.
Yeah.
And then they serve you, you know, sort of some meal that you asked for, you know, 6 months ago.
Oh, nice.
And it was lovely. The chef tried his best and I had lovely, you know, spaghetti with chicken and some raspberries with cream. It was lovely. Very different to what you get in camp. We burned everything in camp just to give it flavour. having a wonderful time. I've had a beautiful shower, had a glass of champagne.
Beautiful.
Now you're going to come to Adelaide.
Not to drink.
But then you're going to come to Adelaide.
Yeah, because you were very open. You're talking about.
How do you know I'm coming to Adelaide?
Well, this is what we're asking you.
You said sort of so that
you had
a little
shag for 6 years and you got this mystery man in Adelaide and all of that. And he might be listening right now.
Yeah, I think he's
listening. He'd be listening to Triple M this morning.
Oh, I don't know about that. No.
I don't play hard to get after 6 years.
He's kind of a discerning guy. He might not listen to you guys rabbiting on.
Of course he's rabbiting on.
He knows you're coming on
this
and he's
hard
keen.
Radio, I'll have you know.
He'd be glued to it for sure. You got anything to say to him?
I'm looking forward to, you know, the chapstick. Anyway, I've got to wrap it up, guys.
Zabora,
nice talking to you.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Lovely to be here.
Good on you. Thanks to Zabora Malka. There you go. I'm celebrity. Get me out of here. I'll be speechless, actually, as you could probably tell. But what do you make
different
of that?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. She's out of here.
God. She's gone.
She's gone.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Yeah, we're in for a hot week. What is it, about 15 degrees at the moment outside, 33 and sunny today, right?
Yeah, 37 for most of the week. Wouldn't be surprised if that jumps up to 40, but don't mind it warm dits. It's been warm in the suburbs lately. Mm. They've had a few neighbourhood disputes with fences, fencing disputes. Also happens when people want to put up sheds and carports and things like that as well. But there is a record number of people at the moment seeking legal advice about what type of fence they could put up, where they can put it, what type of material they can do it, how high they can do it.
Let's be honest. It's always the cost, isn't it? It's about the money.
Yeah, I think there's cost is one, but I think the materials definitely one, and the color dits, and you know, when you're doing older houses, you get it surveyed and someone's got an extra 30 centimetres of land, so they have to get the boundaries realigned. There's lots of things that cause issues. And,
well, my mate's just been to court over this. And not when I say just been to court, it's dragged on and on. He and his neighbour just are not seeing eye to eye at all.
There's people, like,
it happens everywhere. The more you speak to people, it's just, I don't know if it's every second or third or fourth person, but happens actually everywhere. And as I said at the moment, 5,000 people at the moment in 2016. 5,000 having legal advice on it. The highest property with the most inquiries is Prospect, 116.
Cheats live in Prospect.
Who?
Cheats live in Prospect.
Cheats live in Prospect.
That's an old saying.
Is it? Why?
Well, you know, cheats never prosper.
Oh, right.
When we played North Adelaide, we just changed it to Cheats live in Prospect.
Morphett Vale, 74. Seaton, 64. Flagstaff Hill, 63.
Mm.
Happy Valley, 55. Kidman Park, 47. Hallett Cove, Windsor Gardens, 46. Aberfoyle Park and McGill, 43. Well, I did a bit of a reno on mine a couple of years ago, and I wanted to change my boundary, and the neighbour wasn't too enthusiastic about my idea. Mm-hmm. And, it's a bit of a...
Well, what was your idea? What was so bad about it?
I didn't think it was bad at all. I actually thought I was making him money and making his house better.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't quite up for that idea, so...
Right.
I just did it anyway.
How were you going to make him money? I'm interested to know how you were going to make him money.
Well, I was going to render a nice wall for him instead of having a colour bond fence.
Oh.
Yeah, so anyway.
Did he have to go halves in the cost?
No, I was going to pay for it.
You're joking?
Yeah.
And he still said no.
Bloody good bloke, aren't I? Just moved on.
Something doesn't add up about that story because I've done business with you before.
No, I was being a nice guy. And I do know that other people in the street have fallen out and not talking at all, at least a couple. So it does happen.
Happened to us when I was a kid. And it's so pathetic, but we had a hedge.
Oh, your old man would have been good to deal with.
Well, this is what happened. We had a hedge between us and the neighbours, and... My dad came home from work one day, and this is all that happened, was the old lady next door. And in fact, I'm being kind saying the old lady because she was an old bag, actually, the old bitch next door. But I'll call her a lady for now. The old lady next door already come out and trimmed the hedge. And all my dad said was, oh, well, say's me doing it. And she took umbrage of that. And that was all he said. But he said it nicely, apparently. He was talking to my mum. Mum said, oh, you know, old so-and-so next door's done the hedge. Dad said, oh, well, say's me doing it. And she overheard this. She was out in the yard, caused a war. And they never spoke to us again. It was bloody pathetic.
What, over that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
People are
like
funny, aren't
you
they?
You were always going to have a few blows with that lady if that's all it took to get her fired
The
up.
Day we threw the brick through a window,
yeah,
that didn't
help.
She probably never got over that.
Might
as well.
Have been a couple of chapters before that punchline, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Well, give us a call on fights you've had with your neighbours at the moment, or fencing disputes, or...
And what are the rules? I just presume that it's 50-50, but if you, so let's say, for example, hypothetically, my neighbour comes to me and says, I want to put up a new fence, and I look at it and say, well... I think we need one.
Mm.
Who's right, who's wrong?
Yeah, well, I wonder what the rules are. That's when the tricks start happening, I would have thought. That's where you get legal advice.
Oh, then it gets out of hand, doesn't it?
Well, it does. The costs go through the roof. Give us a call, 133353. Tell us about your neighbourhood disputes.
And what are the rules?
104.7 Triple M.
Ah, it's Ruined It's for Breakfast, talking about neighbourly disputes. A lot of arguments out there about fences, Ru.
Oh, happens everywhere. We've got some great prize to give away too. We've got tickets to go and see the Crows in Brisbane down at Noarlunga Oval Saturday week, or tickets to go and see Lawrence Mooney at the Live on 5 at Adelaide Oval on next Thursday night, which will be a cracking night as well. Let's go to Para Hills. Neville, what blue did you have with your neighbour?
Yeah, g'day, Rip boys. Listen, when I moved to Wakery 20-odd years ago, I moved out to Wakery and I bought 3 acres out on Seal Road there, Roo.
Right.
And built a new house and sort of stuck it a fair way off the, we thought was the boundary, and then we went to put a fence up. So I went to the neighbours and I said, oh, we want to put a 6-foot, you know, colour bond fence, you know, protect the veggie garden and that. And I said, I'm going to get a surveyor to come in and find where the boundaries exactly were. And one Saturday morning, I looking out the window to head to go down the river, and there's about 6 or 7 people walking through my veggie garden. I said to the wife, what's going on here? So I walked outside. I said, oh, what's going on here? Oh, your sewage system is on our property, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, it's not. Anyway, so I got the... I said, I've got a surveyor coming in a week. So anyway... Next thing, they come back a few days later, and they said, oh, we've got our surveyor. And I said, oh, okay, then I don't mind. Anyway, it turned out to be the same surveyor that we'd organised anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood there for the whole day, and the surveyor eventually put the pegs in, and the person said, "Oh, is this where the boundary is?" And the bloke said, "Yeah, exactly right." And I looked at the bloke and I said, "Well, how are you going to turn your tractor around coming out of your grapevines into my place now?" And he said, "Oh, well, can't you just move the fence over about a metre or so and then I can still turn out of my grapes?" I said, "No, no, see that row of strainer posts? You have to pull all them out now," I said. So it was just a horrible effort.
You had a long story there, but that's a bit tough to to deal with when you got rows of grapes, Stitch. You can't do that, can you?
Have you heard of Gone with the Wind? That was heading that way, wasn't it?
Let's go out to Burton. G'day, Brenton.
Yeah, how you going, Ruth?
You have a run-in with your neighbour?
Yeah, you know how houses are built so close together these days. My neighbour, she had a big gum tree in her backyard and used to blow leaves onto my house and fill up my gutters, so I got up there one day with a blower vac and just blew them out, and basically, you know, half the leaves are going into my property and a lot of them are going over her fence.
Oh, that would have started something.
Oh, she shoved her head out of the window going off her head, and I said, you know, it's all from your tree. I don't have a tree on my property.
Mm.
So, you know, that went on for a while, but then I kind of got a bit of payback because her kitchen window was next to my toilet, and she'd always leave her window open for a cat to go in and out. So every time I'd go to the toilet, you know, I'd make out I was passing something quite huge. And That would soon shut the window up and just get her back a bit. But yeah, she was a dragon, I tell you.
She was a dragon.
Well done, Brenton.
Oh, God. Let's go to Seaton. Come on, Andrew.
How you going, boy?
Good, mate. What can you tell us, Andrew?
Yeah, I built a property at the start of last year. The neighbour came over before the house started, asked if I wanted to do something about the fence, and I said yes. The fence, so I'm on a corner block. The fence on both sides were just falling to pieces and they were really low, so I said yes. He said, "Yeah, we'll go 50-50. I said, "No problem." My wife had a baby last year, so originally we were going to help each other build one, but I went and got quotes to get one built, and I said, "Look, don't have time to build the fence. Here's a quote that I've got." And then all of a sudden, he didn't have any money to pay, so I was out of pocket $1,000. I don't speak to that neighbour anymore, and the back neighbour paid, and we're the best of friends. So really gone.
So one bloke just tried to stitch up half the fence, did he?
Yeah, and I gave him every opportunity to pay like $50 a week, pay me over a course of a time. At the end of the time, it was about $1,000 for his side. I said, "Look, can you give me anything? Just, you know, I've got a new baby on the way. I don't have much money. I'm paying for a house," and didn't want to give me 1 cent. So just made it really sour.
What an ordinary plumbag.
Made it really sour, especially because originally he said he would go 50-50. Just put a real sour taste in my mouth, and now we don't speak. So,
Get him back some other way, mate.
Well, stitch him up. Retribution.
I'm sure life will get him back somehow. I'm not going to do anything. But,
Good on you, Andrew. Not good hearing those stories.
Let's go to Seaford. G'day, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You had a run-in with a neighbour?
Oh, yeah. A few years back when I was living up north, the tree on the bushes from the neighbour behind us, God, it's just growing everywhere. And just got sick and tired of chopping it back and throwing it in my bin. So I thought, oh, stuff it. So I chucked it all into a garbage bag and chucked it back over the fence.
What are the rules with a tree? If the tree's on their neighbour's land, are they supposed to trim the tree, or how does that work?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but from what I heard from the old car park talking, it's their tree, so they got to get rid of it. So I chucked it back and it hit him in the head as a bounce back.
Good work. what happened
Tony's
next?
He's pretty happy with his work there. Hey, Roo, why don't we send Andrew and his wife out for the night? They can go and see Lawrence Mooney. What do you reckon?
Oh, great idea.
At our special tradie night. If they can get a babysitter, Andrew, you can come along. This is next Thursday night, isn't it, Roo?
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. At Adelaide Oval, this scenery up there on the fifth level, live on 5, is absolutely sensational. Probably the best view in Adelaide. And that is all thanks to West End as well. They're helping out with a few beers.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, I saw the other day photographer Ben Baker in town shooting the Port Adelaide players, photography-wise, that is.
Yep.
And then you delve deeper
we'll
into
do that halfway through the season.
That's right.
Shooting them properly.
But, boy, hasn't he done some work around the
world? Well, he has, and it caught my eye a little while ago. I saw an article on it, and I thought, I love South Australians that have left and just prospered and made a name for himself. So we thought we'd get him on, and he joins us now. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Yeah, very, very well. How's it? You've shot some of the biggest names in the world. Bill Clinton, Obama, Donald Trump.
Photographed.
Yeah, that's right. Can't say that anymore. Toby Bennett, Lady Gaga.
No.
But you've done some port plays over the weekend. What was the biggest thrill for you?
You know, coming back in, it's a bit of top secret who was in the campaign, but to come back in and to spend some time with the legends, an Ebert and a Kale, is something as a young port boy growing up, playing footy and living in the area. That's pretty legendary. I got to tell Jack a funny story. I played junior footy at districts and tried out at Port Adelaide same year as the Wakelands and Cockatoo Collins, and Jack walked in the room and looked at the 50 of us and shook his head and said, maybe one, and walked out. So I definitely wasn't going to be one of those ones.
So where did you grow up, Ben?
I actually grew up, there's a car park across the street from the Albert and Oval, which was our house, and it was at one point sold to the club. It was my dad was very proud to sell the house to the club. Didn't matter if it turned into a car park.
Yeah, I know the but, house you mean. Well, I lived just down the road. We were neighbours. Yeah. I was only just down the road.
Excellent. 10 King Queen Street. That was the neighbourhood.
Brilliant.
And off to Largs Bay and junior footy districts, and then travelled on from there.
Brilliant.
So how did you get your break in the world of photography? Tell us, you know, how did you get to be photographing Donald Trump and Obama and Bill Clinton and all these big names?
Lucky breaks. You know, I think a lot of times in life you need to be in the right place and you get an opportunity and you got to take it. Worked for great photographers here, Mike and Chris. Mike and Essie, Chris Otto, went to Sydney, then I went to New York and happened to be at the right time where Annie Leibovitz, a Vanity Fair photographer, needed extra assistance. So I happened to be at the right place, right time. And before you know it, we were running around the States shooting, photographing pretty amazing projects. So, and then from there, it's just been door after door has been opened and a lot of hard work. But it's been great. I've been really lucky.
How much, when you're photographing someone of the ilk of the President of the United States, or I see some shots here on your website of Oprah Winfrey and things like that, how much input do they like to have? Do they tell you what to do and how to photograph, or are they generally pretty good? Do they just leave it up to you? I mean, I guess what I'm asking about
get
is
them in the mood,
how
surely.
Big is their ego? Yeah, and do you need to lighten them up and get them happy and that sort of thing?
You do. You've got to really, you know, especially a president's going from a pretty serious situation to another one, and you have to engage them and try to get their mind off. You know, I was once in the Oval Office with Obama in early in 2009, and it was just happened to just thwart a terrorist attack. Mm. And I had to try to get him. I knew he seemed very serious when I walked in and had to say a bunch of stuff to try to get him to open up and to let that other stuff go and to focus on what we're doing. You know, and I never talk about politics or business. It's, you know, about life or sports. You know, Obama's a big sports fan. He joked about how terrible the Australians were in the London Olympics, which didn't go down too well. But at least we had a good back and forth. So now,
this campaign that you've just done with Port Adelaide, I don't know how secretive it is, but they've brought in a lot of sort of ex-Port Adelaide people, I take it?
Yeah, they did. So there's a legendary advertising guy, Greg, here, Jeff Robinson here at Nation, and he's had this amazing concept. It's very simple. It's very clear. It's just focused on the Port Adelaide community.
Yep.
You know, we're not just focusing on the players, some past players, current players, but also focusing on celebrating the club and the people who make the club happen. So I spent a couple of days photographing everyone involved around the club, from volunteers to the biggest names we know, and just trying to find some common, you know, common link between all of us, and that's we love the club.
So, Ben, who commissioned you? Who knew about your connection, the fact that you are a mad former Port Adelaide person, lived across the road? How did that all come about, your connection with the club?
Over the years, you know, I've known different people in the media department there and CFO and just people around town. Like I said, Jeff Robinson, he's on their board of their marketing, and he's known me since I was a 19-year-old photo assistant in Adelaide. So we knew there was going to be a project coming up at some point. We just didn't know when and what year. And I'm just very lucky that this year was a great year, and we got the call and got to it. So, you know, a lot of people over a long time trying to figure out how to make it work, and finally we have.
Benny, what's Donald Trump like?
He's entertaining. He's a salesman. You know, he loves a camera, and he loves these moments of he loves being he loves being a cover of any magazine. Doesn't matter what the story is, good or bad. You know, I've been up there in Trump Tower and we've had the conversations about things he won't do. But if you just keep telling him he's great, you keep him moving. And we're up there for a number of times. And he was running late to go to a Yankees game and he was running late and I got him in there and he said he has to leave. And he said, as long as you can photograph me walking backwards talking. And I did, you know. he laughed at that. He thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But he's Ben, keep engaged and happy. And yeah.
Ben, is he a good payer?
Donald? No, he doesn't pay. No. Well, I'm usually there for a magazine, so it's not his money. But I'm sure I wouldn't want to be doing any deals with deals. So it's always they're really interesting days.
Ben, it sounds like you've led a very, very interesting life, and I'm sure it's set to continue as well. And we look forward to seeing this Port Adelaide campaign as well, mate. Well done. As a South Australian, you are kicking goals right around the world, mate. Good on you.
Thanks, mate, guys. We may be back and doing some more. So, Chris, you're going to have to get on that one, all right?
Yeah, well, let me know.
Rue, I'm not sure if you want to, but we'll have to
talk. Hey, now, Ben, you know his uncle is Bruce Light. Yeah, I mean, there's a little magnificent connection. Port Adelaide connection there. Gee.
Legendary name, yeah.
There it is. All right. Good on you, Ben. Well done. Ben Baker.
Well done, Ben.
Fantastic stuff.
Rue and Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
8:28 it is. Ruined Dits for breakfast, or should I say Dits and Husband of the Year, Mark Ricciuto, took his wife Sarah to Sydney for the weekend. What was the occasion, Ruth?
Sarah's 40, the old bag.
Yeah, I don't say
she's
that.
She's 40. She's and not is it happy
today?
About it.
The birthday's today. Yeah. We've got her on the line. Sarah, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
How does it feel being 40?
Such a beautiful compliment, Mark.
What was that?
Such a beautiful compliment.
Oh, compliment, yeah. How does it feel?
I feel like I'm 25.
There you go. You look it as well. You look about 18, Sarah. Now, tell me, you are the luckiest girl in the world. It's your 40th, you said, Mark. Could you please take me to Sydney? And, of course, it coincided with Winks running at Randwick. Gee, you're a lucky girl.
Yeah, I had the best day watching him. Punting. It was great. We had a good day.
I've heard a little whisper, though. There was a whisper, what? Sarah, that you were spotted in Tiffany's in Sydney. Did anything happen there or not?
No.
Well, you just went window shopping.
I'd never been in Tiffany's, so we thought we'd have a little look.
You tied up.
It was beautiful.
You'd never taken her to Tiffany's before.
No, well, I said, I'm happy to buy you something if I win at the races.
Win.
And I didn't win, so she lucked.
Now, Sarah, today, is it actually today your birthday? Is that right?
Yes, today. Yes.
Now, did you wake up and find a nice present at home?
I did. I'm more than happy with my present. It's better than a Tiffany's present.
Oh,
and that's rare that you even get a present.
What did you get?
He bought me an amazing painting that I love from an amazing artist from Adelaide, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Mariana Mezik, and it is amazing. I love it.
So
it's better than Tiffany's because it's a one of a kind.
Don't say that.
The
don't
kids
say that,
spoiling you this morning?
Kind of.
What have they done?
Oh, there's rice bubbles everywhere. It's good.
Didn't Sophie make you breakfast or anything?
No, we're all been a bit too busy.
Right, rushed.
Now, she is helping me make the lunches.
For those that are listening, just imagine Sarah right now on her 40th birthday, 6 kids she's looking after right now, trying to get them ready for school and get them fed.
What are Nick and Joe doing? And have they even said happy birthday?
They're doing their hair. No, they have. They've given me a kiss and a cuddle and they're doing their hair. Rocco's sitting up on the bench. He wants a biscuit for breakfast.
What about Tom?
Rosie's got her tap shoes on.
She's tap dancing.
And Tom's just sitting on the floor with a massive boogie coming out of his nose.
Oh, no. Life of the day. Now, see, this is at home with the Ricciutos. This is it. Now, Sarah, what about tonight? Are you going somewhere special for dinner?
I'll probably be cooking my own dinner.
I'll cook tonight.
No, Mark's going to cook. But, we're just going to be home.
Right, so snags on bread tonight.
And the kids have made me a cake.
Have they?
Mm.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Oh, well, nice. You've already milked it for 3 days, so let's just get through today and have a nice day. And I'll catch you home for a cuddle.
Oh, says Mark,
cuddle.
Who has a long weekend for his birthday every year.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
I think you've done pretty well.
You'll need eyes in the back of your head this afternoon because he'll be chasing you around the bedroom, I think. Righto, see you, Sarah. Have a great day.
You.
Have a
good day. Thank you. See you. Okay,
there you go.
Bye.
Sarah Tudo, 40 today, very but only lucky. Looks about 18, I reckon. She's 40. Gorgeous.
Good, not a bad age, 40, I reckon. Yeah, it what is do you good. Think,
Dits? Oh, you start to have a heap of fun at 40.
I reckon you do.
Yeah, get us some help. Get a nanny, will you?
Yeah, I'm trying to find one. Anyone out there who reckons they could do the job? 1-3-3-5-3.
What's the pay like?
No, I'm happy to pay fairly well.
At home with the Ricciutos.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes. Because trust is a must. RossdaleHomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.